Hey everyone, Jefferson Graham here, the iPhone Photo Show podcast. And if you're watching on YouTube, you're seeing it, the video version. We've got the Dean of Apple Analysts, Tim Beharin from Creative Strategies. Well, Tim is the go-to guy for all things Apple, and he has been at the Worldwide Developers Conference, otherwise known as WWDC this week. And he got one of the rare invites to check out the Reality Pro headset. And we're going to jump into the Reality Pro headset. But there are a lot of improvements photography-wise to iOS that you will see on your iPhone in the fall. I would say that more people will see these features than will see the Reality Pro, the Vision Pro, because it is, you know, a $3,500 product. We'll get into that in a second and the photography aspects of the new headset. But let's start with some of the iOS stuff. Things, there was so much there that was flying by that let's take a few minutes and really do a deep dive. Photography on the iPhone in iOS 17, 9 cool new features. When you place a call, your friend will see a full screen photo of you. Were you excited about that, Tim?
Yeah. It depends on how you feel about how you look, but yes.
Well, you get to choose the fact photo, that you, right?
Huh?
You get to choose the photo.
Yeah. Yeah, you could, but again, depends on which photo you choose.
Yeah. But it's nice. Bigger deal. I'm big on this in that people tagging in the Photos app is something that most people should take the time to do. Most people don't take the time to do it. If they they would be able to find pictures much easier and do less of the scrolling back and forth. Well, now you can tag your cats and dogs, which I think is nice.
Yeah, I do too. And I'm actually thinking about developing an app for memorializing when your pet dies. And one of the things that you'd have to do to make that work is you'd have to have the animals tagged so you can pull up the pictures. But yeah, I think that's a great new feature because, you know, if you actually are on Facebook or TikTok or whatever, those pets show up a lot.
Yes, and they're stars, and they're bigger than we are. Get photo reactions with your front-facing camera selfie photo. Okay, so if I go like that, if I hold my thumbs up, fireworks will come miraculously in the air. Do you have any idea, Tim, how this is going to work?
Yeah, well, it's a trigger point based on visualizations of actions. The thumb one was one that they showed that activated it. We didn't see a lot of what other ways you activate that, but it is tied to some kind of gesture.
Yeah, and that will happen in your selfie, and I don't know that you'll be able to share it, but you'll certainly see it on your screen, right?
Correct.
Through AR. One of the cool things that they came out last year was a way to select, to take you out of the photo. I just, if I have a distracting background, I just take myself and I put it into a note or an email or a text message. And now you'll be able to isolate a cake and get a recipe for it. Right?
Just what we wanted, right? We need that.
Yeah. This one is huge. This one is going to be used by so many people. When I meet people out in the real world and I take their picture, they say, airdrop it to me, please. And I say, what's the, you know, and then you go into airdrop and you do all this stuff and you just sit there and wait. And now you'll be able to take two phones and face them together and just zip your photo out to them that way, which I think is great. You, Tim?
Absolutely. In fact, I've wanted that exact feature. In fact, ironically, I've done that kind of with my wife. Here's my phone here. And, you know, it doesn't actually do it. Now it will do it.
Yeah, so that's great. When you charge the phone and lay it on its side, you can now get a little nighttime clock, or you can get a photo on the screen to be displayed, which is great because right now I have a photo there, but it'll go dark pretty soon. What do you think of this, Tim?
Well, I always actually want that, especially when I travel, where I want to have the actual time displayed on the table next to me, and that's a great feature. In fact, that stuck out to me right away when they showed it, because in the case of, you know, a nighttime clock, that's perfect. The fact that it actually does a lot of other things, including, you know, pictures and imaging, that's kind of cool too.
Yeah, I think you'll want to get a little device to hold it sideways for yourself. But, you know, I've gone to so many hotel rooms that don't have clocks, and I get up in the middle of the night all the time. I have no idea what time it is because I'm in a strange place. I tend to put the iPhone now next to me, but I have to have it charged. But what if there's not an outlet to charge it? It's all sort of crazy.
Oh, so, yeah. Again, this is nice.
I appreciate this. Use photos to create live stickers. So from our selfies and other things, we'll be able to extract the background and turn ourselves into little stickers that can show up in places. Again, sounds small, but millions of people will be using this, right?
A lot. Sure. Because, again, you're able to just take, especially, and again, go back to your animals and your pets. Those will probably be the biggest stickers. But, or your kids, you know. But yeah, that's a really cool feature. And they made it very easy to do, which is important.
Okay. On FaceTime, when you call somebody and they don't answer, okay. But now you can actually record a video greeting and say, hey, Tim, this is Jeff. I was just calling and I just want to say hi and leave it for him. And why not? Isn't that cool?
It is. And the idea of leaving video messages in concept has been around for a long time. Apple just made it seamless now.
Yeah. And lastly, they started a journal program where you can, you know, and it's going to be like Keynote, I guess. It's just going to be a really nice visual presentation that you'll do your writing. You can add songs. You can add photos. You can make something that looks really cool. Did you get to see much of this, Tim?
We did. Just briefly, they showed it to us in our private meeting. But be clear that it only works initially on the iPhone, not the iPad. And we asked them that, you know, and they said, yeah, they're working on an iPad version that they'll be able to do. Whether they do it by the release of the new iPad OS, I don't know. I don't know. But I mean, the journaling idea in general, I've actually thought a lot about, you know, at least capturing some key thoughts during my day. And that makes it easy to do, right?
Yeah. And I would have liked to have seen your WWDC journal, though, of course, I saw it in Forbes magazine when you did your article. But, I know you like to visit wonderful places around Monterey, and you could probably do a really nice little, I think it's Pacific Grove that you really like, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I would do that.
Remind everybody, iOS 17 will be out in the fall. It's always a free upgrade. There'll be a beta during the summer that many of you could try the new features out on, but it'll be available to the general public generally the week before the new iPhone is released. If you have an iPhone 10, that would be the iPhone X, you will not be able to use iOS 17 because the phones that come before that, it will not work with that. Any phones after that will. That now let's go to the main attraction. Tim got to put on the Vision Pro, and we're going to talk about the photographic capabilities of it and how it's way more. They have way more cameras and stuff in there than I expected. But Tim, set the stage. Tell everybody about your experience because I know it was pretty life affirming for you. You've been pretty excited.
Yeah, I kind of likened it to being at the original Mac launch because that was a spectacular event in itself. And at the time, there were only like five of us industry analysts there. It was 1984 in January. And actually, they didn't even have a lot of media representation. Ironically, it was done at their financial analyst event in Cupertino. And it's funny, I mentioned to, I'd gotten to see this and understand what they were doing pretty early. And I when I was talking to some of the people who I met, you know, just before the event, I was saying, you know, I bet you this is going to have that same reverberation of, you know, years from now. I was at this event. I saw the launch of the Vision Pro. It was a great experience in the sense that in one time of putting the thing on my head, one, it was pretty easy to get it set up for my eyesight and my hearing, very simple procedure. Once I put it on my head, they walked me through the user interface, and I got to tell you, it is so intuitive and so easy to understand. I had the interface down in less than a minute. And then we got into the various programs that you can use with it. It started with bringing up the actual screen. And you have to kind of think of this as really being more like a Mac experience, not an iPhone or even an iPad experience, because it's replicating the screen that you have in front of you if you're using a Mac. And so the primary apps come up right in front of you, just floating in the top of the screen. And you look at that particular screen, and then you look at the app, and you pinch your finger, and that launches the app. We saw in that case photos, we looked at messages, we looked at video. And in every case, the big difference is it's not a 2D experience, it's a 3D experience. You're visualizing now in a more immersive environment. But the headset itself was relatively light. It surprised me. And this is Apple's immense attention to detail. That headset is easy to adjust. So when I put it on, the little straps here had areas where I could, actually tighten it, loosen it very simply. And, to be honest with you, after 30 or 40 minutes, I still kind of hardly knew that it was on because there was no real weight that I found that was significant. And in this particular case, it was portable, so it was tied to a battery pack, tethered to a battery pack. And in that case, I could just walk around using it with the battery pack in my pocket. If you actually plug the battery pack in, let's say you're sitting at your desk, you could use that for as many hours as you want. But the battery pack only gives you about 2 hours.
Well, a lot of the things that people have been talking about is the dinosaur that comes flying out at you, watching movies on the widest screen that you've ever seen in your life. What about photos? What about just seeing your family photos? I think you've talked about the birthday party that you would never, that you'll never forget because it can come back to life,
Well,
right?
here's what I think the genius of this particular aspect is that Apple built into the headset a 3D camera. And what I was viewing, especially with that birthday party, was three little girls around a cake. And they actually showed it in the keynote, just the 2D version of it. But in the 3D version of it, you're sitting like across from them in a seat, watching the girls do this. But it's in a 3D immersive scenario. You're seeing the surroundings in 3D, you're seeing the girls' faces in 3D, you're seeing them moving in 3D, and you're sitting there watching it. And as I watched it, what I thought about was this is the closest thing I think we'll ever have to teleportation because it put me in the action. And if I am actually viewing this 10 years from now or 5 years from now or whatever, that memory will never go away. I have captured that exact experience. They did another example where people were sitting around a campfire and their friends were talking, and you were sitting on a seat around them, and you had this also in video mode. And to point out, when you actually look at the goggles, there's a little crown up at the top on one end, and then there's the camera button on the other. And the crown actually takes you from app to app to scene to scene. But hitting the little button where the camera is, you hit once for picture and twice to start videoing. But that video 3D capture, that's a game changer. If I was standing in in front of a waterfall or a river, that would all be captured in 3D immersive experience. And I got to tell you, that part of it, you just until you use it, you just can't understand how absolutely incredible the experience is and transformational it is in the context of using or adding the photo and video to the experience to capture 3D.
Okay, what about FaceTime? Because I found this really fascinating. You can do a FaceTime call with the goggles on your head, but it will take images of your face and it will basically animate them but make them look real to let you do this conversation, which you could have just held the phone in front or whatever. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, that one was pretty spectacular. And by the way, when they take it, and they showed actually a picture of you putting the headset in front of you, hitting the actual 3D camera, and it's taking and mapping your face. And then when you're using it as a video conference, like Zoom or WebEx or whatever, because you've got it on your face, you know, you would think that they were seeing the goggles on your face. No, they're seeing an exact replica of you. And I wouldn't call it an avatar by any means. It doesn't look like an avatar. It looked just like me. And in this particular case, I was actually talking to a woman who was way across the campus. And I could hardly tell that it was they called it a representation of you.
Okay, but your lips are moving and the words are coming out of your mouth and the whole thing?
Yeah, you couldn't tell that it was a virtual, they actually called it presence, a virtual presence. It maps, and that's actually the one of the major qualities of this thing. It maps every movement, every every mouth movement, every eye, every expression in real time. And so when I'm looking at this particular woman who she and I are having this conversation over video conference, I really couldn't tell that it was a representation. It was that real.
Okay, well, let's talk about the product itself. Many of the write-ups that came out this week were technological marvel, state-of-the-art, wow, $3,500 is a lot of money, but Apple fans will pay it. But on the other side, what family of four is going to sit there watching a movie with a headset on, all four of you, and it's going to isolate you from the world, et cetera? You've heard all the brickbats. What's your take on that? This is a family item.
Well, it will be eventually. It's not now. And number one, price is an issue. Size is even an issue. You know, being kind of a historian of Apple, I kind of think of this as the Lisa. If you remember historically, Lisa came out before the Mac, and it did bring the graphical interface, but it looked like a regular desktop computer. Three years later, Apple downsized it to the point where it fit in this little box. And I actually think we're at the tip of the iceberg of an evolution of that particular product. I think today it will be used not only by early adopters, but they actually showed stuff that they didn't show in the keynote. Really good examples of it being used in medical, in automotive design, in simulations in manufacturing. I'm convinced that the actual business side of this will be viable this year and next year, even at $3,500. In fact, I know some major corporations that are using VR right now for everything from training, et cetera, and they're using $10,000 headsets. So this to them will be a greater experience at a less price. But from a consumer standpoint, I do think that you're going to find that curve in the same way, is that, you know, as I said, I kind of think of it kind of as like the Lisa. The next 2 years or so, it gets down to the Mac, so, you know, as far as size, et cetera, and price, which was down. Because remember, the Lisa came out very expensive. And even though the Mac was expensive, it was $2,500. The Lisa was, I think, $6,000, you know. I have a little bit different perspective because of my historical background with Apple, but this is what they do. They start with something pretty high up, very premier, sometimes even too big, and then they eventually downsize it and they bring the pricing down.
It's not the pricing, it's the isolation. It's the it's one headset per person and coming home and trying to have a family sitting in the living room together wearing four headsets. That's the concern I have.
Oh, I think that's a viable concern. And I don't know if that's actually the true business model for this thing, that ultimately everyone in the family is going to do it. I think that in many ways, this maps out more towards an individual experience as opposed to a shared experience. Now, having said that, let's say that I'm on a road trip and I have one at home with my family and my kids and one with me, and we want to watch a movie. Then it's a very different story. But I agree, sitting all four of us sitting in on a couch watching the movie that way, I don't think that's even reasonable.
What form do you think this product will eventually become? Do you think it'll be glasses like the two of us are wearing right now? Or do you think it'll always be a goggle?
No, I think it'll eventually be some form of a glasses. But, you know, one thing I did get a peek into, and I mentioned it, and some of the others who were got a more technical view, what they have in that thing right now is a marvel of technology. The M2 chip, of course, is amazing, but that new R1 chip that actually manages all 12 cameras is spectacular in its own right. And then you add the optical aspect of this and the micro LED and all of this stuff. You can see why the cost is way up. In fact, I think the BOM cost on this, the bill of materials cost alone, is probably well over $2,500, $2,700.
Yeah, but having said that... Okay, go ahead.
Well, having said that, Apple always takes what they have available today and eventually miniaturizes it, right? And in fact, it was kind of funny. I was thinking about this yesterday, historically again. I don't know if our audience knows this, but the original iPhone was designed actually as an iPad. It was shown to Steve Jobs as an iPad. And he said, I think we should try to think about making it smaller. And that took him 4 years, but they eventually took what was a tablet slate and made it into a pocket computer. And I think we're at that stage that I think we have the cream of the crop of the technology implemented in a really large goggles now. But that Apple will be, especially since they own the semiconductor side of it, and they have incredible partnership, not only with Zeiss, but with Corning, where they can control the optics, this will scale down to eventually being in a glasses. Whether that happens in the next 3 years or even 5 years is questionable. Again, the technology in here is a marvel of the way it's all put together, designed, created, and put together. And it's going to take time to miniaturize.
Will we be taking photos with them?
Well, from the beginning, I sure would. I would be using it a lot when I'm taking photos, but I have
no,
to
but
admit.
I mean, taking pictures to the camera that's in here, or are you talking about just viewing photos?
No, Apple will keep the same design. You'll have it in there. You know, I mean, you kind of have that with certain glasses now where you have the camera in there. I don't think Apple takes anything out of the design. I just think they miniaturize it over time. Okay.
But certainly we'll be seeing photos in the Vision Pro in a way that we just have not experienced before, right?
Absolutely. Both in the context of now that image is in a 100-inch screen or the movies are in a higher level. Both taking pictures will be revolutionized as well as viewing them.
All right. Vision Pro starts at $34.99, will be available, they say, in early 2024. What's your best guess, Tim? Is that a January or is that in April?
Probably April. I do think, I don't want them to do it unless it's really ready. So I'm not that anxious for them to speed up the delivery. I want this to be rock solid. But from all the things I've heard, it's probably going to be second quarter of 2024. And then, iterations of it over the next 12 months to, they'll have a bigger launch probably in 2025. And then we'll watch from there as it scales downward.
And when they say it starts at $34.99, what do you think we're going to walk out the door with? I mean, are we talking $4,000, $4,500? What do you think?
Well, the $3,500, depending on where you live, the tax alone is going to kick it up a couple hundred bucks.
$350, right.
Yeah.
Right.
But having said that, the other issue is the optics. Even for my age, I'm blessed with pretty good vision, 20/15. And so when I actually went to, you actually get talked to an optometrist as you were getting set up, you know, she didn't have to hardly do anything to modify the optics for me. I was able to see it without glasses or anything else. But if you have true prescriptions, there are scenarios where you're going to have the lenses ground to your prescription, and that's going to be an additional cost. I've heard everything from, as high as $500. I don't think that's quite right. But I do think that in some cases, people are going to have to have their prescriptions built into the headset for it to work right.
And I assume there'll be accessories and stuff that will also bump it up a little bit, right?
Believe it or not, I already saw one. I saw an alternative headband for this that was announced yesterday. So, the accessory train has already started.
Already. Tim Beharin, the Dean of Apple Analysts, the President of Creative Strategies, the President and CEO, right? Is that your title?
Actually, apparently I've been promoted. I'm now chairman and my son is the CEO.
Okay. Who promoted you?
I'm not quite sure what that means. Yeah, Ben. I'm not sure quite what that means other than I'm still overviewing and I'm working with all my existing customers. But now Ben's the CEO, so.
All right. That sounds great. Succession runs in the Beharin family.
Apparently.
You could see Tim's work. He writes for Forbes. Where else are you writing for these days?
I often contribute to Fast Company, but, my schedule's really busy. It's hard for me to even write as much we write big reports and stuff. So I'm spending more time on that as opposed to and working on projects as opposed to doing, major columns. But my column in Forbes is always up on Tuesday morning every week.
Alrighty. So check Tim Beharin out there. Look for me. Check out my newsletter, jeffersongraham.substack.com. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, PhotoWalksTV. YouTube.com/PhotoWalksTV. Be sure to listen to the podcast, iPhone Photo Show. Tim, thanks for doing this with me.
Hey, I'm glad to.